following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
I have loved this song because it falls into the category of generosity songs and compassion songs. There's so many of those at Christmas time. And I love celebrating the fact that His compassion, His love toward us, it ought to make us more compassionate, more loving, more gracious towards other people. Everybody agree with that? If we've received love, we've got to what? We've got to give love. If we've received mercy, we've got to give mercy. If we've been forgiven, we got to be forgiving. But there are elements of this song, Good King Wenceslas. How many of you love, anybody but me love this song? Anybody wondered, what does that mean in this song? Well, we're going to have a running commentary on this song by a couple of young scholars who probably know more than a few people in this room about who Wenceslas was and where he was from. So I've asked the young scholars, who happen to be my granddaughters, Abby and Taylor, to come up and kind of walk us through the song as we sing it. Now, there'll be several parts in the song where we stop singing. We'll keep playing, but we'll stop singing, and they'll explain to you what you've just sung.
King Wenceslas looked down.
Wenceslas was a king from Bohemia, modern-day Czech Republic.
On the Feast of Stephen.
The Feast of Stephen was the day after Christmas.
As the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel.
It was a very cold and snowy night, not a cloud in the sky, which we all know makes it way colder.
When a poor man came in sight, gathering winter dew.
The king saw a really poor dude walking through the snow, who was so poor he was picking up sticks to make a fire to heat his home.
Hither, page, and stand by me.
King said, "Hey, servant dude, come here.
If you know it, tell me. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what is dwelling?"
The king asked his servant if he knows who this poor man is.
"Sire, he lives a goodly fence underneath the mountain. Against the forest fence by St. Agnes Mountain."
The page tells the king that the man lives about 4 miles away at the edge of the forest near a stream or a waterfall.
"Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither."
The king tells his servant to bring food, drink, and logs for a good fire for this poor man and his family.
"You and I will see him die when we bear them thither. Page and monarch, forth they went together. Through the rude winds, wild lament, and the bitter weather."
Right in the middle of the crazy storm, the king and the servant start their long walk to the man's house. Who does that? I wouldn't do that.
"Higher the night is darker now, and the wind grows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer."
The servant says, "Hey, king dude, I'm really tired and cold. I'm so done.
So mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou wilt find the winter wind chill thy blood less cold."
The king says, "Come on, servant dude, just walk in my footsteps. It will be way easier for you."
In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay deep.
found it warmer and way easier to walk where the king has walked.
So therefore, Christian men, be sure rank and wealth possessing. He who will now bless the poor shall thyself find blessed.
God will always bless those who bless the poor. In fact, the Bible says, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done.
Well done, girl. Thank you. And now you get it. Now you get it. If God's been kind, then be kind. Not just at Christmas. I am not going to take much of your time this morning because I know you have a lot more things going on Christmas Day. But thank you for being here. This is just such a great turn. We didn't really expect as many people to show up. Now, don't leave. We're glad you're here, but we didn't expect this many of you to show up. But since we've sung about the generosity of this guy named Wenceslas, now there's probably some of the Wenceslas story gets a little embellished, as good stories do. Have you ever noticed that? Great stories get embellished a little bit, and then they become tradition, then become almost magical. And you think, oh, I know that didn't happen, but I still love that wonderful story. But since we're looking at some of that this morning, I thought it would be wise for us to look at the wise men, the magi, the kingmakers who came to worship Jesus, and specifically to look at what they brought with them. Now, we know that unintentionally, they brought trouble. They didn't mean to bring trouble. They just had this belief, and we don't really know exactly anything but the star that brought that grabbed their attention and brought them to Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem because they thought, well, you go to the capital city. By the way, did you know Jerusalem is the capital city of Israel still today? Tel Aviv is not the capital, although that's where the American embassy is. That might be changing, we'll see. But it was the capital then. Does anybody remember when Jerusalem became the capital city? Who was king? It was David. David who decided, look, we need to centralize this. We're going to take that little outcropping of rock, and that's where we're going to settle in and make that our nation's capital. So these wise men coming from probably Persia, modern-day Iran, they had this inkling that, hey, something big has happened. I believe personally that they were influenced by the teachings and the writings of Daniel. And they began to add up those days, and they began to look forward, and then there was this marvelous sight in the sky, and they came to Jerusalem, the capital, knocked on the door of the king, and said, hey, we're here to worship your new son. And here's that, I don't have a new son, and not a son that I know of, I don't have a new son. And so he has now this suspicion that comes up, and he says, I'll deal with this boy, whoever he is, because he sees him as a threat to his throne. And so you know the sad story and the weeping that happens in Bethlehem and the region, as it says, this cry that went up because Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted. But as sad as that is, I think what the wise men brought to Jesus was remarkable. Now, we're going to talk today about for a little bit about how do you shop for a king? What do you get for the king who has what? Everything and more than you could ever want. What would you really buy for your favorite NFL player that they can't buy 1,000 times over with how much they make? So what do you really bring to a king? And I think that what the wise men brought to the king, that there's some clues in there, or cues, however you want to look at it. There's some insight into what we can bring to Jesus, and really what he deserves to have from us. So what do you bring to a king who has everything? Here's what we give him. We bring him gold, we bring him frankincense, and we bring him myrrh. Let's talk about what those three things mean. To begin with, the gold is the stuff of kings. It was the metal of kings. And when we bring God, when we bring Christ gold, what we're saying to him is, you are my king. And if someone is your king, I told you this before. When we were in, I was in Riverside probably about a year and a half ago at a restaurant with my nephew. And we sat down, and I think it was a Thai restaurant. I'm pretty sure it was. But the guy who worked there was from Thailand. And up on his wall, there's a picture. And it's a picture of, looks like kind of a wealthy guy with a couple of dogs around him. And I said,
who's the guy in the picture? And I'm thinking, maybe it's his dad. Maybe it's his grandpa. And he stepped back like a half step, and he said, "That's my king. That's my king." With all the pride in the world, "That's my king." When we were in Thailand this last, when were we there, babe? September, October. And you saw the picture of that king everywhere. As soon as we left, he passed away. He'd been the longest reigning king on the planet up to that point. But he was honored and everywhere. Oh, he's a wonderful king. He's a wonderful king. Now the new king, who is the son of the old king, they're not so happy about him. There's a little bit of question on what kind of king he will be. But when they said, "That's my king," this is what they brought him. They honored him. Whenever they spoke of their king, they honored him and they were there to serve him. If you have a king, you serve him, you honor him, and you obey him. So what can you give Jesus today? You can give him honor. You can give him service. You can obey him. It's one thing to read those beautiful red letters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and a couple of other places as you see them in the letters and in the book of Revelation. It's one thing to read them and say, "Oh, aren't those powerful words?" A lot of people said that about Jesus. They said, "Oh, he speaks with such what? Authority. He doesn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees." It's one thing to remark on his words. It's one thing to notice that, "Oh, they're so wise." It's another thing to obey those words, to honor him, and to serve him with your life. If he's my king, I really do need to get up every day and say, "Your honor, I'm reporting for service. What would you have me to do today?" To honor him and to serve him and then to obey him. Now, let's go to the next gift, the frankincense. Myrrh was not supposed to jump up that quick, but myrrh sometimes does that. So frankincense is the stuff of priests. And here's how it was used. There was an altar in the tabernacle and again in the temple, just outside the curtain that separated what we call the holy chamber from the most holy chamber. The holy place from the holy of what? Holy of Holies. And every single day, the priest would come into the tabernacle. The door, let's say, it's probably back there a little further than our front door. And right inside the door, he would come to the altar and he would offer a lamb, a sacrifice. Every day, there was a daily sacrifice. The last thing he would do on his way out is offer one more sacrifice. But the priest, whoever he was on duty, would offer the sacrifice. Then he'd go up to into the holy place, which was a tent inside the tent. The way that it was set up, it was like the fence was about a 6 foot high or higher fence of fabric that separated the courtyard of the tabernacle. Deep into that little sort of courtyard, there was this tent structure. And you'd walk into the Holy of Holies, and there was the altar of incense. And he would take from some sort of a little vessel, he would take a double handful. Everybody put your hands together like that. That's how much incense you'd scoop up into your hand. Sweet-smelling incense. Smell it. I can't smell it, but I can imagine. And then he would come to the altar, which was still smoldering from the incense that had been put on it at the end of the day. And he would put this on top of that. And then all that fresh incense, it wouldn't ignite into flames, but it would begin to smolder like incense does. And it would just, the aroma of it would fill the tabernacle. And then again, at the end of the day, he would come to that vessel, take out another double handful, put it upon the altar of incense, and he would walk out, make the sacrifice, and go home for the day. But we're told in Scripture that what that incense represents is prayers, the prayers of the saints. Prayers that take the form of worship at times. "God, you're so wonderful." Prayers that take the form of praise. "I thank you for this." And prayers that take the form of intercession. And what's intercession? That's when I'm not just praying for me. Oh, I'll do that too. That's my petitions. "God, I need this." Supplication, "Oh Lord, I really need this. Would you help me with this?" And "Oh God, I don't feel so well." And "Oh God, I need direction." Those petitions for me and for Joy and our family. But intercession is when I get my eyes off of me and I start praying for you. "Lord, my friend is in the worst of times and they need so much help." And so what I bring to Jesus, when I bring my frankincense, I bring my worship to him. I bring my intercession for other people. I bring him praise. God, you're so good to me. You gave me that, and you did this for me, and you've saved my lost soul. You're better to me than I deserve. Anybody believe that to be true? Way better than I deserve, but you have been good to me. And so when I honor him as king, I bring the gold to honor, serve, and obey. And when I bring my frankincense, that incense, I come before him with worship and with praise and with intercession and with supplication. And he invites me to do that. He says, ask me. He said before he left that last night with his disciples, he said, come on, talk to me. Talk to me. Ask me whatever. Ask me for them. Ask me for this. Put it all on the altar of incense. Bring the frankincense. But then this myrrh stuff. That, as I said here, that's the stuff of life. That's the hard stuff of life. There's not a person in here who doesn't need a forgiver. All of us need a forgiver. That's what Christ came to do. He bears our sin on a cross. He bore our sadness. He bore our griefs. He bore our burdens. And I think that started, at least it began, there was a significant scene in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was crushed to the ground. And he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He said, I am so sad, I could die. I'm not the only one in the room that's ever felt that. You feel like, oh, this sadness, it's killing me. Well, Jesus bore that for us. And here's the most amazing thing that you can bring Jesus. It's a weird gift. It's almost like one of those, what do you call it, white elephant gifts, where you bring something that's really not worth anything. It's a gag type gift. And you laugh when somebody gets, well, one year, I shouldn't tell the story on her. I won't give you her name, but her initials are Emmy. That when... It was a gift exchange, and she was giggling through the whole thing because she'd boxed up a box of dirt, and I think snails in it or something. She couldn't wait for someone to get it, and then she felt so bad afterwards. Oh, why did I do that? But can I tell you that Jesus says, bring me your box of dirt. Bring me that stuff of life. Bring me that dark stuff of your life. Bring me the sin that you've gotten yourself trapped in. Bring me the sadness that you are carrying even now. And there are many people in our congregation that just this year, I don't want to strike an overly sad chord, but this is like the first Christmas without that loved one. I remember the first Christmas. Several times, first Christmases without a brother, without a mother, without my father. I remember those. Those are hard. Even if you weren't there, we spent several Christmases in Australia. No Christmas without even calling, and that's hard. And Jesus says, bring that to me. Bring me the sin, and bring me the sadness, and bring me the brokenness. Pack all that up to me, and we won't call it a white elephant gift, okay? It's just the stuff of life. So what can you bring Jesus? Well, you bring him the stuff of life. You bring him the burdens, which he today is ready to forgive. If there's any soul in here, maybe you got this far, and I want to tell you, I believe that God woke you up on Christmas morning early enough to come marching in here with a whole bunch of his people who love him, because he brought you here, maybe chased you here, maybe followed you here, because he wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to know he'll carry that stuff of life with you, the sadness, the brokenness, the burdens, the questions. And even, listen, look up here. You know who you're looking at? You know what my title is? What do people call me? Pastor Bill. I remember the time that out here in the corridor, I stopped to talk to a family, a couple of small children. And one of the kids, as they were walking away, said, wow, Mom, Pastor Bill talked to us. He spoke to us. And he's like famous. Oh, if only they knew. But let me tell you something. Yeah, the sin, the sadness, the brokenness, and the doubts. Do you think that pastors don't at times have their doubts about issues, even issues of faith? You know where I take my doubts? I take them where Jesus said to bring them. He said, come to me, all you, say it with me, come to me, all you who labor, that's hard work, that's when life gets hard, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a fortune cookie with a nice little phrase on it. He said, I'll give you rest. I'll give you shalom. I'll give you peace. And then he said this, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The yoke wasn't something to bear a burden. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. The yoke was not something to bear the burden with. The yoke was an implement of guidance. It was an implement of guidance. And there usually, if you had a new oxen or a new animal that you were training to pull a cart or to pull a plow, you'd put them in the other side of a yoke from a well-trained oxen or a well-trained beast. And that novice would learn how to pull by putting his neck in the yoke of the other one. And it would be a thing of guidance and training. And Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I'm meek and I'm lowly. And you will find what? You'll find rest. You'll find peace. So I want to encourage you today on Christmas Day, December 25th, 2016, if you have not come to Jesus as he invited you to with your big box of dirt, with all of those burdens and all of those questions, if you haven't come to him and asked him to forgive you for that sin, that I could say this every single service and it would hit somebody new who had never heard it and never even thought about this. If you think that that thing that you did is unforgivable, or if you think that that life that you're in, there's no way out of that, I want to tell you gently and with Christmas cheer, you're wrong. You're wrong. Jesus came to forgive all sin, and he came to release all captives, and he came to lift those burdens. And if today you would cry out to him and just say, Lord, help me and forgive my sin. Be my king. Be my king. Be my God and be my burden bearer. I bring to you gold as my king. I'm ready to honor you. I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to serve you. I bring you my incense as my priest, my high priest, my God who deserves my praise and my worship and my intercession on behalf of other people. And I'm going to bring you from this day on all that stuff of life, just all bundled up into at times hardness. Oh yeah, there's fun stuff wrapped up in the stuff of life too. But I'm going to bring those things that worry me. I'm going to bring those things that crush me. I'm going to bring those things I don't understand. And as I open your word and I learn of you and you guide me by the beautiful truth of your word, well, I'm just ready for wherever you want to take me. And if you'll say that to him today, surrendering your life to him, that's where life begins, right there. Life doesn't happen without Christ. You might have a strong beating heart and a wonderful pulse. You might be as healthy as can be, but without Christ, you don't have life. Life doesn't work without Jesus. That's why he came. That's why the baby came, allowed himself to be wrapped up in those rags, laid down in that manger, walked this world, taught us beautiful truth, and then did the most profound thing the world's ever seen. Took our sin to a cross so we could be free and we could finish this life and head for heaven. So those of us that are missing the loved ones even today and we bring that burden, let this truth kind of sparkle over even that sadness. That if they trusted Jesus, oh my, they're having an amazing Christmas right now. They're having an amazing moment in the very, very presence of God. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for Jesus. It's just as simple as that, Lord. Today, it's always all about him, but today, it certainly is all about Jesus. And we are so thankful, Lord, for Jesus, who he is, and what he did for us. Thankful, Lord, that you really, really, really do love us. We're thankful, Jesus, that you walked where we walked, and you were tempted like we were tempted, injured like we've been injured in so many ways. You wept like we wept. You know all of this stuff at life and all that it means, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our closest, closest friend. And we want to bring to you our gold and our frankincense of worship and even the myrrh of life, Lord. And we run to you today. And we thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And any of you today that maybe you're at a place where you're really ready to say, I want to reinstate Jesus as the king of my life. And I do have sin that I need to ask him to forgive me of. And I have worked myself into a place where I can't seem to get out of it. And I want to ask him to set me free. We're going to pray out loud. The whole congregation is going to be praying with you. And any of you that would like to, and maybe this is the first time you've ever done this, to call out in the name of Jesus and receive His salvation, His gifts of love and hope and His help, His assistance as you walk through life. But He's got so much He wants to give you. So we're going to just pray out loud, and I encourage you to join with us. By the way, that's what the Bible says. This is how it starts. All who call upon the name of the Lord, in other words, all who pray to Christ, they will be saved. God says, bring your words with me, or to me. That means prayer. So why don't we pray out loud and just pray this simple prayer of receiving that love of Jesus. Let's pray like this. Heavenly Father, on this special day, I am so thankful that Jesus came to die for me so that I could live for you. Please forgive my sin. Help me through the doubts and all the stuff of life. Help me never to give up, but to always lean upon you. I give you the rest of my life. Show me what it means to do more than just go to church. Show me how to live for you every day. My life is yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing Peace to You. Let's practice. Turn to somebody beside you, look them in the eyes, and say, peace to you. Peace to you. All right, here we go. Let's sing. Peace to you. Every tongue and every nation, every tribe and generation, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you, peace to you, peace to you. That passes understanding, now and everlasting, Christ is born. The Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you. In the city of David, a baby cries. God among us in disguise, a precious virgin, her secret key, while the world sleeps. Peace to you, peace to you. To the broken and the lonely comes the humble and the holy. Christ is born, the Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you. A child is born, a son is given. In our manger, Christ is born. Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Now sing like the angels. Here we go. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest.
peace to you. The humble and the holy seeks, the broken and the lonely, Christ is born. The Son of Mary, Holy Son of God, peace to you. Come, let us adore. Come, let us adore you. Come, let us adore. Give Christ the Lord. Peace to you.
Sing it, peace to you. Sing again, peace to you.
Peace to you.
One more time.
Peace to you.
Okay, here you go. You ready? Six times. You're going to sing peace to you. And every time you sing it, you got to look into the eyes of a different person. So you got to move around a little bit. Squirm if you must squirm, but you cannot not do this, okay? Find six people to tell them peace to you. Let's do it.
Peace to you.
Now find somebody different.
Peace to you.
Again. I guess we've gone overboard, haven't we? Once more,
peace to you.
Now listen.
And now this gentle little stranger has become the friend of sinners.
One more time, nice and loud.
Peace to you.
All right, here we go. Go tell it on the mountain because it needs to be told. And as we march out of here today and you go back to hopefully a very, very, very Merry Christmas, may the Lord bless you and keep you as you make His love and His grace known. You ready? You guys start shaking. Let me hear it. Let's hear it. Oh, louder than that. Loud. Shake that thing. Here we go. And make your way around the sanctuary. Any of you guys, so just make, you know, hey, kids, listen. Why don't you just start a parade? Go down off the stage and start going that way and just keep going all around until you get back up here. Here we go.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Again.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, everywhere. Go tell it on that Jesus Christ.
While
shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens they showed a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Again, go.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Then the shepherds
feared and trembled when high above the earth. Now the angel chorus to hail the Savior's birth. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is
born.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born. and God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that
Okay, kids, come on back up. Go up to the stage.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is.
One more time, everybody.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is. Oh. Woo!
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.